good morning.
Good morning.
We'll go back to the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John. Verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all the blessings that you've given us.
Amen.
You have richly blessed this people.
Amen.
Thank you most of all for salvation that is a gift to us. We thank you, Lord, we're not worthy, we're not of ability to
Amen.
Have earned it, and we can't even pay it back. We thank you, Lord, for so great a salvation that is a gift, and all of it because of what Jesus did. We thank you. Give us freedom and ease to preach, teach. Give us a heart that responds to your word, and bless us today. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I don't know how many of you went to the wedding yesterday. Quite a good crowd, yeah. I got cold. I went all over the country preaching revival meetings, all the way from Florida to Oregon. And as far north as Pennsylvania and as far south as Florida, you know, all the Texas area, New Mexico and whatever. And I would tell them, I'm from San Antonio where the sun spends the winter. It didn't spend the winter yesterday. Yeah, we got a little bit of cold out there, but that was a real something. Now that there was a union. A union of cowboy and Hispanic Mexican. You see all those cowboy hats around in there when you're going? And then you got that mariachi band. I was sitting at a table with Diane Garibay, and when that trumpeter blasted out on his horn, she jumped up about 6 inches. I lie a lot. Anyway, I had a friend of mine that didn't have a very good home life when I was growing up in the neighborhood, and His mother was mentally ill. I don't know what it would have called it. We, his kids, called it crazy. And his daddy drank a lot, and he was a barber, and didn't look like he had much of a chance. And he didn't have much of a home, and I don't know how things went with him. But he went to high school, and he was about a half a grade ahead of me. And he didn't play sports or anything like that, but he went to the band. And he was a trumpeter. And he became the best trumpeter of our Burbank band. And anytime we would go out and have a football game and score a touchdown, he would stand up and buddy, everybody heard his horn, you know, and he could play the horn really well. And in fact, it became a real help to him because he got a 4-year scholarship to University of Texas at Austin. He became an engineer. The last time I saw him, I think it was up around Dallas, and Verlene and I went by to see him, and he married a lovely woman. He didn't have any children, but he had 4 big, white, hairy dogs. And they were in the house, and they just run over everybody. They were just so happy. They weren't, you know, he was happy with his 4 dogs instead of 4 kids. But anyway, the trumpet turned him around, and when that trumpeter yesterday come out with those strong notes, bang, 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 and they're right on the money. It brought a happiness to me as I thought back about my friend and what the trumpet had done for him. Now, you know something? The trumpet is some study you could do in the Bible. And it was the means of communication between the general and his army, or a king and his army. They could tell by the way the trumpeter blew whether they were to advance or to retreat or whether they won or whether they lost, and I don't know how many other means of communication. It's an interesting study, and I'm thinking about that last trump. The Bible says there's a last trump. And then I understand there's a voice come up hither. I'm looking for the last trumpet and the voice come up hither.
Amen.
Well, let's go back. Verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me because I laid down my life. They did not conquer Jesus. They couldn't have if he didn't want to. He could bar 6 legions of angels, 72,000. One angel in the Old Testament killed 185 soldiers in one night.
Thousand.
Yeah. 185,000 soldiers in one night. What would you do with 6 legions? You can't handle angels. You can't handle God. Quit thinking you can handle God. He's bigger than you are. He is bigger and stronger and smarter, bless your heart. You're not near smart enough to mess with God. Anyway, he says here, I lay down my life. No man taketh it from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And there was a division therefore. Okay, where Jesus went, there was a division. Now, if you want to look at it with me, Psalm 72. It's the last Psalm of David. In fact, in my Bible says the prayers of David, the son of Jesse, have ended. And in verses 17, 18, and 19. Now, this is supposed to be a psalm that David wrote for Solomon, as Solomon is going to take the kingdom and takes the kingdom even before David completely dies. Psalm 72, look at verse 17. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be counted as long as the sun, as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things, and blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Those are the last words of David. You know what I think? I think they not only applied to Solomon, but they applied to Jesus Christ. Here is a prophet. Here is a prophet. He's writing something. David was a tremendous prophet. He was a poet. He was a singer. He was a general. He was just a great, great, great person. And in his doing this, it's like in Isaiah. You can go into Isaiah and you can see it, and it's almost like he's reading the New Testament. He's reading that substitutionary death of Christ. What all of those sacrifices were leading to, or a shadow of, or a hint of in the Old Testament. And where many people could not see it, but some did. And some of these prophets, they could be, his name shall endure forever. What is the biggest name in the world? Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus. And what's the name you're going to bow to? Jesus. What are all the world going to bow to? Jesus. What's the name you call upon to get saved? Jesus.
Amen.
Whose righteousness do you get when you get saved? Jesus.
Amen.
That's beautiful. It's just absolutely beautiful. Anyway, go back to verse 20 chapter 10. Many of them said, he hath the devil and is mad. Why hear you him? You know, all you have to do is get a little bit of religion and get to talking about it, or a little bit of politics and get to talking about it, and boy, can you get different opinions. And everybody thinks they're right. But you know what I know? Not everybody's right. Somebody's got to be wrong. You better be careful what you follow. Somebody can say, we're going to take Texas out of the Union. You idiot. No, you don't want Texas out of the Union. Somebody says, well, we tried that one time. Yeah, 11 states tried it. It didn't work. 600,000 men died. People died. Wow. Wow, what a tremendous thing. We have a wonderful thing. It is not the best government in the world. The best government in the world is the kingdom with Jesus as king.
Amen.
But we have to put up with a bunch of idiots, and that's all right. It's worked out pretty well for my life. Man, I'm sure glad I was born in America. Glad I was born in Texas. I was glad I was born to a couple of farmers. I was glad that I lived in the time where they have automobiles. Wow. I enjoyed driving. Still enjoy driving. Going to, it may be hard to give that up. He has the devil. He's mad. He's nuts. Why are you hearing him? And then somebody else says, what are you kidding me, man? This is not the words of him that have the devil. Everything he does brings glory to God. Everything he does is to point you towards God. Everything he does with his life is to give himself for you that you might be saved. Wow, that's not the things that the devil does. The devil doesn't do things like that. And can the devil open the eyes of the blind? Well, look at Isaiah. Isaiah is another one of the Old Testament prophets that, to me, his light is almost like the New Testament. Just the substitutionary death of Christ, his suffering and whatever. Isaiah 35:5. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Is that happening in Jesus' time? We have testimony after testimony of it. We have these disciples that walk with him for 3 years, and they wrote their stories, some of them. And I believe they're true. Amen. You can believe them or don't believe them, but if you don't believe them, you're in a big mess. Because have you studied any of the religions of the world? They're garbage. They're idiocy. I think of all of the things. I've seen some wicked, wicked things. And I've seen some just stupid, stupid things. And you know how some of the movies come out where there's this big ogre and you got to give him the most beautiful virgin in the thing and he's going to eat her or whatever. Crazy. Can you imagine bowing down to a snake? There's somebody doing it right now. Somebody doing it. And there are people all over this country, much more sophisticated, that aren't bowing down to the right name.
Amen.
Who else paid your debt? You hear about it anywhere else? No, no. What we have is the most unusual religion in the world and the most almost super to be believed, that Christ would die for me.
Thank you, Lord.
I have 5 children. I wouldn't give one of them for you. Wow. Christ died for me. David said in Psalm 32, how blessed the man was that the Lord would not impute sin to him. If that's not New Testament doctrine, I don't know what it is. Yes. I am a sinner, but it's not imputed to me because the righteousness of Jesus Christ who died in my place is imputed to me. That's my hope of salvation. I don't have a hope of salvation that I preached for 65 years. I don't have a hope of my salvation because I'm so good I never sinned and don't sin now and I've attained a great height of holiness. No, 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 no. I'm still a sinner. I've got a Savior. I'm still a sinner. I can't pay God. What could I pay Him for? What would I give to God to make up for the cross of Calvary? I don't see anything I could do. All they have is just give up and say, Lord, you're Lord.
Amen.
You're God. You're smarter than I am. You're better than I am. I don't understand why you love me, but I am so thankful that I've heard that news.
Amen.
It's glorious. It really is. Then, verse 35, Isaiah 35, 6, then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing, and in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. You know who he's talking about? Jesus and the salvation of God. That's who he's talking about. In Matthew 11:5, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up. Wow. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. Where is that? Jesus, my friend. Okay, back to verse 22 in chapter 10. It was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication. It was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. He told him plainly. He has told him plainly. He doesn't need to tell him anymore. The works that he's done proclaim it. The message that he brings proclaims it. Wow. He said, my sheep, verse 27, hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. Now, that says give. Is that a clear word?
Amen.
It didn't say sell. You didn't say reward. He said, I give. What? Eternal life. When we get to heaven, there aren't going to be anybody that can brag but Jesus. And all the praise is going to be to Jesus Christ in heaven.
Amen.
And what is the greatest name? Jesus. Jesus Christ. Wow. He said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You are worried that the devil is so strong he's going to capture you out of the hands of Jesus? Rest assured, my friend. I know some of you have fears. Some of you don't have confidence and ease sometimes, and you're afraid of what's going to happen. Well, let me tell you one thing. The devil can't take you out of the hand of Jesus or the hand of God. You ought to have a confidence. That ought to give you. You ought to be happy every day just because that's true. You ought to say, praise God, I'm saved. I didn't do it, but I've got it. And I've got it because he laid down his life. No man took it from him. He laid it down. They couldn't have killed him if they wanted to. He's Lord. Verse 29. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. I love when I learn some new truth about the heavens or the earth or God's creation in some way or another. There's an awful lot of smart people in the world. There are a lot of smart people, a lot of you pretty smart people. We live in a time of great understanding, use of the things. I don't know what else there is out there, but something greater than electricity, something greater than television, something greater than... You people are doing what television used to do on your phones. And I've been told, I'm not much of an expert on computers and all that stuff like that. I'm told that in that little phone that you got in your pocket, there's more computer power than we had when we put a man on the moon. In your phone. What is it that we haven't discovered yet? What is it that God can tell us that we haven't? I bet you there's plenty. I bet you there's plenty. We just didn't know it yet. What about all those people that rode horses all those years? I like my 180 horses. I don't have to feed them. I don't have to worry about them getting too cold. Wow. And do they run? Woo, do they run. They don't even get mad and give me a hard time. Horsepower. Why? All throughout history, there was your power. There was your means of moving. And people loved their horses like people love their dogs and whatever, you know. Wow, I've got 180 horses and only 3 cylinders. That really shocked me. I went to buy a V6 and I got a straight 3. But it runs like a hot rod and I'm just like a 15-year-old. Going back to John 3, I've got several verses here. They go along with what Jesus has been telling him. I've told you, you believe not. My sheep hear my voice. Verse 28, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And then notice this little statement. I and my Father are one. In Jesus Christ, you have the fullness of the Godhead bodily incarnate in a body of flesh. Wow. And that body of flesh gave himself up and went to the cross of Calvary to pay all your sin debt. That's not only a great way to be saved, it's the only way to be saved. Well, John 3:16, I'm going back. God so loved the world. I imagine that was probably the first verse I ever learned in the Bible as a kid. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath, that's has right now. I'm not waiting to get eternal life when I die and get resurrected. The day I took Christ as my Savior, 64, 65 years ago, I had eternal life. And if you're saved, you now have eternal life. You can't die and go to hell. Or you can die. You can get rid of this body. Sometimes when you get down to a certain age and a certain decrepitude, you might wish to die. I've known quite a few that wish to die. Didn't see any sense in hanging around here any longer. And I don't blame them. I really don't. God so loved the world. Why? That's beyond me. It's beyond me. Who do you love? People who love you. People who do nice things for you. It's amazing. I loved my wife. I loved my mother, my father. I loved my kids. I loved my grandkids and my great-grandkids. I don't love that whole world out there. Not in my mind. I have a real hard time thinking about loving that rapist, that murderer we heard about on the news recently. Or that drunk that kills three kids. Or that idiot that drives a pickup into a bunch of young people and kills and maims people like that. I don't have that kind of love. Now, I can give them the gospel because of what it says about God's love. God so loved the world. Not the good people of the world. Not the best people of the world. God loved the world. And that included you. And when he died on the cross of Calvary, he included you. There is salvation for every soul, but it's got to come through Jesus Christ. That's what it says in John 14. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now that raises the hackles on a lot of people's neck. They think, well, what are you going to do with us of this other religion? I just know what I believe, what is written in this book, I do know. And there's only one way. I'm sorry, my friend, but there's only one way for your debt to be paid to God. Any other way, and you have no payment. Wow, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And in verse 3, John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son has, right now, present tense, everlasting life. I have everlasting life. Now, I don't exactly feel like it sometimes. Sometimes I feel like I got everlasting death running around through me. No, I've got everlasting life. It's by faith we take these things. They said it, I believe it, that's faith. I'm betting my life, I'm betting my eternal soul, and I'm betting yours that the book is right. Tremendous book. John 5:39, he said, search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. When you read the Old Testament, look for Jesus. Look for the message of the gospel, the grace of God. The Bible says that Abraham had the gospel preached to him. Wow. Evidently Isaiah did, and evidently David did. Amazing, amazing. They had an insight into something that many people today cannot even get it. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. He said the scriptures are what points you to Jesus. You don't have eternal life because you got the scriptures, but they point you to the Savior. And he said, verse 40, you will not come to me that you might have life. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. That's a real good way to win an argument. You can't win them with intelligence. You can't win them with the power of your words. You can't win them with your, I don't know, debating skills, your knowledge of the scripture. Take up stones and kill him. If I can't win them, kill them. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you. From my Father, from which of those works do you stone me? For which of those works do you stone me? Jesus didn't kill anybody. Jesus didn't shoot anybody. Jesus didn't rape anybody. Jesus didn't stone anybody. What are you killing me for? Because you can't out-argue me. Because you can't out-guess me. Because you have a difference of opinion. You will not accept what I'm telling you. They said, for a good work we stone thee not. Verse 33. But for blasphemy, what's his problem? I want you to understand something. These theologians that knew the Old Testament scriptures, they understood what he was saying. Here's what he says. He said, but for blasphemy, and because thou, being a man, makest thyself God. They understood. Jesus put himself on an equal with God. He said, I and the Father are one. And these works that I do prove to you that I'm from God. Wow. Look at verse 34. Jesus answered him, is it not written in your law, I said to your gods? And if you call them gods unto whom the word of God came, the scripture cannot be broken. Now notice what he said. The scripture cannot be broken. I believe that. Oh, there's some verses that I cannot explain. Oh, yes, there's some things that I've even quit asking questions about and just accepted them as they are. But let me tell you something. The scripture cannot be broken. I believe this book in my hand is a miracle. I believe it is a true eyewitness testimony of the men that walked with Jesus Christ for about 3 years. Saw him before he died, saw him after he resurrected, and they went to the end of their lives preaching the gospel that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Amen. The testimony of their lives is a beautiful thing. I think that Matthew, Mark, and Luke, maybe Mark wrote the first gospel, and maybe Matthew or Luke, I don't know. But I don't believe John did. I believe John, that we're studying here, wrote the last gospel. I believe he lived to almost 100 years old, maybe 90-something. And he wrote the book of Revelation, and he wrote the gospel of John. And looks like God let them put him on an island. And that was the same as the prison zones. You can't leave the island. Well, you can't swim across the ocean. You might swim the English Channel, but you can't swim across the ocean. He was put in prison for a sense. And I believe that's when he wrote. And I believe that's why he lived as long as he did. Peter recognized that Jesus was saying that he was going to live longer. Peter was going to be crucified upside down. Some of the others were going to be killed in various ways. But bless your heart, beside Judas, there was nobody that didn't go ahead and go to their grave testifying Jesus is alive. Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus is the Son of God. Wow. Jesus answered him, "Is it not written in your law, I said to your gods?" Now he's talking about the scripture, and the scripture cannot be broken. "Say ye of him who the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because said I am said the Son of God." He used scripture against them, and they just hurt him. They just could not stand that. He knew the scripture so much better than them. And their answers didn't meet up with what his words were. Look in John 14:10. "Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works." Now back over in 10:37, he said, "If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do," verse 38, "though you believe not me, believe the works." There is a good thing. Maybe you cannot believe the words. How about believing the works? "That you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." Back to John 14:10. "The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works." John 15:24. "If I had not done among them the works which none other man did." Do you understand that? We don't hear about anybody in history, in all of our historical things, ancient, present time, that did the works of Jesus Christ. Right. Nobody. Right. He said, "If I don't do the works, don't believe me. But if I do the works, even if you don't believe me, believe the works." How about that? Get to God by the works. Yes. "That you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." Wow. Tremendous, tremendous testimony of the words of Jesus Christ given by his apostles, eyewitness testimony. Wow. In Matthew 11:20, "Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not." He did some mighty, mighty works in these cities, and they did not repent. Verse 21. "Woe unto you, Chorazin. Woe unto you, Bethsaida. For," listen to this statement from the Son of God, "if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which were destroyed, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes." Do you reckon you're seeing some things and hearing some things that ought to make you believe? I think maybe they are. You seen some people's lives changed? My life changed. Did your life change? Can people tell that you are now a Christian when you were not before? Do you speak different? Do you think different? Do you actually follow anything that Jesus said? I remember the first day I got saved, after the first day I got saved, I went out to work. And me and the mechanic, I never had a problem with the mechanic. I was the driver of the gas trucks, and he was the mechanic that kept them going. And he pointed out the window there, and he said, "Those guys are making $50 a day." I said, "Well, I got a smart mouth." And I said, "I'm not going to call you a liar, but the fellow that told you that is. We didn't make much money in those days." He hit me. Boom. Right out of the blue. I just got saved the day before. Oh, you don't know how I wanted to hit him. Jesus told me to turn the other cheek. I said, "You got another swing coming? After that, I'm going to mop the floor with you." Oh, I was mad. I was mad. I was mad. But I never hit him. And a lieutenant came in and broke it up. And that was my last fight. 65 years ago. You know something? I got a change in just that week. Something happened. I didn't know much. I hadn't been reading my Bible. I hadn't been, you know, doing things like I ought to do. I certainly was not an accomplished Christian. But I knew he said, "Turn the other cheek." So you got one side, here's the other one. And I backed him up around that room through the chairs and whatever. And the guy come in and broke us up. And you know, that's my last fight. Now that doesn't mean I haven't wanted to fight. I have had some days and some people. Good night, I wanted to smash them. I've had some people that I wanted to cuss. Those words are still there. They haven't been erased. But I don't want to use them anymore. I look at some of these new movies, and the cuss words are just so blatant, they don't even fit where they use them. They just have to use them. It's ridiculous. And some of these songs that they sing, I'm about half deaf, so I leave the printing on the bottom of the screen, you understand. And I saw this great big crowd of not just teenagers, I mean grown people. 30,000 or 40,000 of them. And there's this little black singer up on the podium, and he's just singing away and singing away, and they're singing with him. I can see them singing with him as they're dancing and jumping and hollering and going. And it was nothing but trash. Simple trash. What happens when you get to the place that that's what you want? I saw a comedian that I've always liked. He's a smart fella. He's got a real quick play on words and whatever. And I thought I liked him. And then I got this new thing, Video Prime or something. And I saw him at a huge theater. I don't know, several thousand people. And almost everything he said was trash. I never heard him say a trash word in all the times I'd listened to him before. But those people were jumping and clapping. He's up there just cussing at Bruce Streak and making fun of God and whatever. And oh, they're jumping up out in the audience, yeah, and they're clapping him, whatever. What's wrong? Amen. Somebody is not following the right spirit. Somebody hasn't had their mind changed and their life changed. Wow. I got to change. It didn't make me perfect, didn't make me better than you, but he gave me the righteousness of Jesus Christ to pay my sin debt. And by the grace of God, I'm going to the judgment seat of Christ, and the only claim I've got there is Jesus. Praise the Lord.